Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Our sermon text this morning is from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1. Verse 21, and into chapter 2, verse 11. Philippians 1, 21 to 2, 11. Now hear the word of the Lord. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you, Caleb. So we hear the eighth note of the scale this week. The famous verse that begins our sermon text, that verse that strengthens our faith and our commitment to the Lord. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what befalls us, we belong to Jesus. And even in death, we have security, we have comfort, we have joy. Paul gives us this glorious truth that to live is Christ And this is an explicitly Christian message. Jesus is at the center of it. We rejoice in it, but must remember that our life to live is Christ. It is in Christ by which we live. Now, a lot of other religions, a lot of other cults and sects, they have martyrdom. They have self-sacrifice at the center of their faith. So what is it about this truth in Christ that gives us comfort? What is it about the gospel of Jesus Christ that no other religions have that gives us life, gives us security? What separates Jesus from all the cults, all the false religions? It is this, that Jesus Christ gives life as the answer to death. Jesus Christ gives life as the answer to death. Now, that may seem like a no-brainer. We already knew that. But remember, the false religions, the false messages of the world love death. They glory in death. They are self-defeating at their core. Because those false messages, those false religions seek to live apart from the giver of life. To live apart from God, apart from the Creator, apart from the sustainer of all things, is to die. Remember the words of Proverbs. The Lord says, all those who hate me love death. If you hate God, you love death. If you hate God, you reject true life, as He is the giver of true life. You're self-defeating. Now, frankly, unbelief has never made sense anyway. It's irrational. The Christian faith, the Christian message, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to the insanity of the world. Jesus gives life. Jesus answers death with life. The gospel is life. So to live as Christ is to live in a world of death. To have true life. To have real life, because we are united to Jesus Christ. Jesus is and was the answer to death. He defeated death and He gives us life. The Son of God came that we may have life and have it abundantly. So Paul's message to the Philippians, God's message to us, is to live. Live in the new life. And the gospel message to the world is you are dead. You live in death. You irrationally love death. Have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. Come and live. The Apostle Paul, in his ministry, rejected, beaten, imprisoned, left for dead. To live on in this world, in his ministry, was to live as Christ, to carry on, to live in that new life. Paul could do that as a Christian. He could proclaim that message to Jews and Gentiles. He could do that as part of the church. That's what he told the Philippians. That's what we do. We live in the new life. I proclaim that new life. Paul was united with the Philippians in the ministry of the gospel. He was set apart, as were the Philippians, living as Christ in a world of death. Because life is different in the church. The world moves about in darkness, confusion, death. The world is irrational and unbelief. But the church is a set apart community. A family enjoying the life-giving grace that God gives. We come to the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Now, we can still seek after idols. We can still listen to the messages, the false messages in the world, and we can go to those idols, we can go to those messages, and we can find no life. We can drink from cisterns that only pour out death. They actually suck the life out of us. But we as the church, we reject that. We hate death. We don't want death. We want to live. And the Spirit is renewing our minds to view death rightly. Death as the end of this life is awful. Death is awful. Death is such that our Lord could actually weep about it. At the tomb of Lazarus, the very man he would immediately raise from the dead, what did Jesus do before that? He wept. Why? Because death is awful. And it's in this truth that we have the second half of that verse. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And to die is gain is not, I want to die, I want death. No. It's death is awful. The effect of sin and death in this world is so awful that gain is to be with the Lord. I want the Lord. I want life. I no longer want to be in this death body, in a world surrounded by death. Come, Lord Jesus, give me life. Bring life. So to live as Christ is to live a new life. To die is gain is to leave death behind. This is the gospel. Brothers and sisters, leave death, receive life. And that new life pours forth from the throne of grace. Real life pours forth from the heavenly temple. The life-giving Spirit comes from Jesus and it pours forth to the four corners of the earth. Last Lord's Day message carries into this week's. We are united together as brothers and sisters. We are united in Jesus Christ in the gospel of life. The Lord Jesus gives us life, and he rules over heaven and earth, pouring life into the world. To live is Christ and to die is gain is a message for each one of us. But it's our message. It's a message we proclaim to the world. World, live. The life we have, we received from Jesus. The manner by which we live is because the life he gives us in his death, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus gave up the glory he was due. He was not regarded by his rightful title, God. For Jesus to give us life, he gave of himself. He emptied himself. He humbly submitted to death. Jesus died so we would have life. You have life because Jesus died. And because of that, we hate death. We don't revel in the death of our Lord. We don't rejoice that he had to die. We don't rejoice in the manner by which he died. But we do rejoice in that life he gives us. We do rejoice in the effect of his death. What we get because he died. That we have life and we have it abundantly. And brothers and sisters, we have abundant life together in the church. People of Jesus. We are people of life. We are people who hate death, who love his giving of life, life for us and life for the world. That's what unites us. It's exciting. The life we live is worthy of the gospel of our Lord. Conduct worthy of the new life we have in Jesus. Our community here is to be a life-giving community united to Jesus. This is to be a place, this is to be a family where we come to meet the Lord, to be blessed by the Spirit, to receive life from Him. We are blessed. We receive grace from God. That's why we come. That's a good thing. So if we receive the gracious gift, we have the responsibility to conduct ourselves worthy of that gift. If we receive life from Christ, we must be people of life. It's a blessing and a responsibility. Brothers and sisters, you are people of life. So be people of life. Give life. Live as Christ. Christ gives life. We live as Him. We must give life too. So love life, hate death. Receive life, give life. Give life to each other. Give life to the world. Because the world is stuck in death. It's covered with death. People of death inhabit this world. They're all over the place. The image of a world covered with zombies is actually true. But the way we respond to that is not to go around killing all of them. The answer is to give them life. And this is how Jesus remakes the world. We rejoice in the truth that He's seated on His throne and He's making all things new. We champion this reality. We love to image Him sitting there on the throne, making the world a better place. Because He's doing that. Take it by faith. He's doing it now. He'll do it tomorrow. He did it yesterday. He is making the world better. So for us to live as Christ, to live in new life, is to remake the world by His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. We remake the world. We have that gift, and we have that responsibility. So get rid of the death of this world. Hate death. Get rid of it. Make the world a better place by bringing life to it. We might want to escape this body of death. We might want to escape this world of death. We might want to depart and be with Christ. But while we're here, we might as well produce fruitful labor, bringing life to the world. Because the gospel isn't get saved, wait for Jesus to come back. The gospel is get saved, get to work for the King. The gospel is you're dead, here's the gift of life, now give life. The world hates God. The world loves death. So we need to remake the death of this world with the Spirit of life. And life-giving starts here. Life-giving starts in the household of faith. Life-giving, life-exchanging begins in the church. Jesus is the fountain of living waters. We need to be mini fountains of living waters. We come, we hear His word. His word is life. We come to the table, we receive the gracious gift of life. We come in faith and Jesus blesses us. To neglect this coming together is to neglect life. And we come as Christians, as God's people, and what do we smell like? We produce the aroma of life. Life to one another. Brothers and sisters, you smell good. You smell good today. So how? How do we give life to one another? We all agree with that, give life. hate death, but how do we give life to one another? We live as Christ. And what did Jesus do? He emptied himself. He gave of himself for others. He gave himself for you and for me. The honor and glory he was due, he set it aside. He did not insist on it, though he could have. Jesus, as Christopher said earlier, he could have thundered with the voice of many waters and brought everybody in submission. But he didn't. Jesus served. Jesus humbled himself. He considered others. And he died. Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8. He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. That emptying of himself was life-giving. We receive life from the one who emptied himself unto death. His humility, the humility of Jesus Christ, blessed us with life. And we give life the same way. Conduct worthy of the gospel is life-giving humility for others. Life-giving humility for others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the same mind as Jesus. Be like Jesus. Give life to others as God in Christ has given life to you. This community, the community of Christ, the community of Christ's church, is to be a life-giving community. The family of Christ is a humble, selfless community. We empty of ourselves when we gather together. Christ must increase, I must decrease. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, for clarification, this is not an image of a doormat. This isn't, I'm a lowly worm, you can walk all over me. This is, how can I love you by giving of myself? How can I empty of myself to give life to another? This is a faithful and humble servant willing to love and serve brothers and sisters. Being ready to do it. This is Christians widely recognizing the needs of others and emptying yourself to love and serve them. Jesus knew what we needed, and he gave us life. What I give to you, what you give to me, what we give to one another might look different. Different person to person. I need to get to know you. I need to talk to you. I need to spend time with you. I need to see you and discern how I can best serve you. It's going to be different person to person. It might be a word of encouragement. It might be a shoulder to cry on. It might be asking about your week, about your kids, about your loved ones in the hospital. It will look different for each of us. But the secret is, we have to empty of ourselves. In fact, it's not even a secret, I'm telling you right now. We have to empty ourselves. Empty ourselves for one another, to learn about one another, to serve one another. Men, what do we have to do? We have to one another. And this is life-giving. You learn my needs. You seek to serve my needs. I learn your needs. I learn how I can serve yours. And we give life to one another. a word of advice, a loving rebuke, a challenging reminder. It's getting involved in one another's lives as more than, hey, how about that weather out there? And did you catch the game yesterday? It has to be more than that. A life-giving community is a group of people receiving life from Jesus and dispensing life to one another. It's a family hating the death of the world and desiring something better. Something different. It includes hating worldliness. Because this needs to be a place that is different from the world. You know, during the week, I have enough backbiting at church. I have enough gossip in my community. I don't need that here. I need edifying words here. This needs to be a place where I leave the world and I come. And I get built up. And I build you up in Jesus. That starts here. Starts here. And over time, the Spirit renews us. And the Spirit strengthens us with His life-giving grace. He renews our families. He renews our relationships. And as we're filled with the Spirit, it pours over, it pours out of this building, out of this community, and spills out into the world. God will put us in situations, He'll put us in relationships where we can give life to the world. A gospel word to an unbeliever. A loving sacrifice to somebody in need. A biblical word of advice to someone living in irrationality. Conduct worthy of the gospel is life-giving. It's humble service to one another, and it's united. We are united. If there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, and the answer to that is what? Yes. Yes, there is. Fulfill my joy, Paul says. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Verse 1, if that's the case, and it is, if that's our gospel task, and it is, we'll do it. We'll live by faith. We'll live as Christ. United to Jesus and united to one another. I don't live in an island. I'm not living all by myself. I'm living with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't stand to be apart from you. You serve me as Christ. You give Christ to me. You live as Christ. I want to be with you. We want to be together. We want that life-giving fellowship. We need those life-giving words. Again, I'm surrounded by filth of the world all day, all week, 6 days. I need to be with my family. I need to praise God with you. I need godly encouragement. I need to eat with my family, those in Christ. Brothers and sisters, God has blessed us with abundant life. He's united us in His Son. He's brought us into His family. And His Spirit makes us more like Jesus to love and serve one another. We worship together. We stir up, we provoke and prod one another to love and good works. We go forth arm in arm to serve the world together. Now, a word of warning. Humility. Unity, it might sound easy in principle, but they are hard work. Because Because don't make light of what Jesus did. That emptying of himself, that giving of himself for us that we need to do, that was not easy. Emptying himself, going to the cross, were not easy for Jesus. This unity in a community will be challenging. It's hard work because we still have the effects of death on our bodies. Our minds still need renewing. And this will take time. You're not expecting Jesus back tomorrow. So we have some time to work. But let this be a word of encouragement. Remember the path. What happened to Jesus after his humiliation? Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humility, suffering, and death led to exaltation. Exaltation was awaiting Jesus after his faithful service to God the Father. Exaltation was awaiting Jesus after he emptied himself for his people. That's the path. How about the Apostle Paul? He suffered, he was in prison, he was headed for execution. What was awaiting him? Well, if he was released from prison, continued fruitful labor. Service for the kingdom, dominion, and those are no small things. World conquest. But if Paul died after his imprisonment, his suffering for Jesus, what did he receive? Gain. To depart and leave death behind unto eternal life. So if we submit ourselves to the Lord in this task, if we humble ourselves, uniting with one another, emptying of our selfishness, and we work together, what awaits us? World conquest. But it's not just given to us. We have to submit to the Lord. Faithfulness with a little is unto faithfulness with much. God will not bring the world into his church if his church cannot love and serve. If we can't empty of ourselves for each other, for brothers and sisters in Christ, God's not going to bring unbelievers here for whom we don't empty of ourselves. If there's no life in the church, he's not going to bring people out of death to be here. And if we want to conquer the world, we have to go to prison first. We have to empty ourselves first. We have to die first. Then exaltation. World conquest. So brothers and sisters, let's get to work. Let's love and serve one another in humility and unity, submitting ourselves to the Lord, walking by faith, and giving life as the answer to sin and death. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove, .org.